Traditional revenue sources for public media and really the media at large are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
How it can cost $30 a year to put $100 on a store credit card. I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's word the U.S. economy keeps growing briskly, with gross domestic product in the summer quarter running at a faster than expected 4.9% annual rate. If you spent money this summer, this was you at work. Let's consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Welcome.
Good morning.
More than expected. This is quite a robust showing for what happened in the summer.
It certainly is. The U.S. economy accelerated over the summer, nearly 5% rate of growth, absolutely stunning, the hottest growth we've seen since the frenzied reopening of 2021. And that's really important because it certainly is not what we're expecting in the wake of the most aggressive Federal Reserve credit tightening cycle since the 1980s. What happened is consumers, we did see revisions to data, consumers not only amassed more savings than we initially realized, but they also took advantage, both corporations and consumers, of those ultra-low rates earlier on in the pandemic, locking in and hedging themselves against the rise in rates, and they still have a significant amount of savings amassed, allowing the Fed to say, wow, this is great, but also worry because an economy this strong risks reigniting the cooling embers of inflation, which they don't want to risk as well.
We keep spending, and it's not just on things. I mean, this will sound like I'm goofing around, but Taylor Swift and Beyonce concerts are part of this data that we got today.
Absolutely. Everything accelerated. We're spending on the vehicles that we've been waiting for that finally showed up on dealer lots, despite high interest rates, even at the time that they're also catching up on going out and stepping out on the town. The revenge travel we had over the summer was still strong, but also, like you said, Taylor Swift and Beyonce single-handedly moving the economies of the markets where they showed up and toured. That's really important because its strong growth justifies higher interest rates. It also does raise the risk that we could reignite these cooling embers of inflation. It's one of the reasons we've also seen the treasury bond market rise in terms of interest rates. Interest rates really back up, which has already just thrown a bucket of ice on the housing market, which, by the way, posted its first contribution to GDP growth in 9 quarters over the summer. That'll be short-lived. The Fed next week is likely to sort of take a step back and do another pause on rate hikes because the bond market is affecting everything from mortgage rates to corporate bond yields to municipal bond yields, which over time will have a much broader effect on crimping spending and investment in the U.S. economy. But for now, it's been stunning to see how strong the economy remains.
Economist Diane Swonk at KPMG, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ford and the United Auto Workers have reached a tentative contract. The union calls it the most lucrative contract in decades. It could lead to an end to the Ford part of the strike and could help frame deals with GM and Stellantis, the Europe-based firm that owns Jeep, Ram, and more. Marketplace's Nova Safo has an update.
The UAW says the tentative deal with Ford includes pay increases of 25%, which combined with cost of living adjustments would add up to more than 30%. The union had been demanding as much as 40% more pay. But UAW Vice President Chuck Browning, in an online video, praised the agreement.
UAW members at Ford will receive more in straight general wage increases over the next 4.5 years than we have over the last 22 years combined.
Browning said the union also improved retirement benefits and ended two-tier wage systems at two plants in Michigan. UAW leaders told striking Ford employees to return to work, and the company said it would focus on restarting idled plants in Louisville, Kentucky, and Chicago. The deal with Ford could set the standard for agreements with GM and Stellantis, where negotiations are ongoing. Union leaders will meet over the weekend to go over the details of the Ford agreement, and then they'll meet with members who must vote to ratify the deal. I'm Nova Soffel for Marketplace.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a new record, though maybe not to consumers a welcome one. The interest rates for retail credit cards, the store-branded ones, have reached an all-time high. Rates now average nearly 29%, according to data from Bankrate. By comparison, the typical credit card annual percentage rate for a standard Visa or MasterCard is about 21%. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looks into what this spread means for consumers.
Retail credit cards traditionally have higher interest rates, says Ted Rossman, an analyst at Bankrate, because they're easier to qualify for.
Retail cards are often somebody's first credit card. And honestly, sometimes people don't even realize they're signing up for a credit card.
He says store cards can be a way to build credit if paid in full. But that's not always how people use them. Say your fridge breaks.
You really need to buy something and you don't have the money. And then there's the store credit card right there on the counter.
Now, there are the deal chasers who sign up for that Gap card to get a denim jumpsuit for half off. In the excitement, MIT finance professor Hong Ru says customers sometimes overestimate their ability to pay the debt.
If you give me 5% cash back from my gas, I will be very happy, right? And I will tend to ignore these costs.
And the holiday season is when retailers push store cards and enrollment bonuses the most. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Meta, Facebook's boss, Mark Zuckerberg, is on a tear to cut overhead, and that includes employees. And there was news after the market closed yesterday that lower costs helped double profit at Meta in the summer to fall quarter. Still, companies warning about ad sales going on right now this fall, and Meta stock is down 5.6% after dropping more than 4% yesterday. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.